is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Welcome again to worship here at Bible Home Church, Austin, Texas. But of course, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be in the midst thereof. That's why we believe very strongly in home churches, and we support the rights and the privileges and opportunities of Christians who meet in home churches throughout this world, throughout the globe, whether it's in communist Cuba or red China, where so-called unregistered churches are being terribly persecuted, to Mexico, Canada, Australia, Great Britain, Romania. We believe in home churches. Now, if you're going to another church, that's okay with us, as long as it's a Bible-believing church. But, you know, you have an opportunity to be a member of Bible Home Church. Write to us. Tell us you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You repented of your sins. You're saved. And you want to be a member of this church. We'll be glad to have you. You see, you really are already a member of God's church wherever you're at. There's only one church of the living God. But, of course, there's membership of local churches and such. And we count, I suppose, as a local church, even though we're international. We'll be glad to have your fellowship and your love, your financial help, and your prayers for Bible Home Church. I believe every time we meet, the presence of the Lord is with us. In a moment, we're going to have a wonderful song from Johnny Ray Watson. Some more beautiful music. The name of the song, it's really worship by music. It's entitled, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. And I believe He is. I believe every time we meet together, my friends, you may be sitting at your workplace, maybe at your lunch hour, and you have your headphone on and you're listening to this message to Bible Home Church, but surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Now we're going to have Johnny Ray Watson come and sing. And then after Johnny Ray has sang this beautiful song, this marvelous message in music, we're going to continue our very important subject matter. We're having a series, as you know, How to Win Victory Over the Devil Through Jesus Christ, Our Lord. First, surely the presence.
In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt of times before. Surely I can say I have been with the Lord, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I touch the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and my heart is overflowing at the fullness of his joy. And I know without a doubt I have been with my Lord. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. And I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
All of the devil's positive thinking didn't get him anywhere at all. If he had simply said from the beginning, "Lord, what would you have me do?" things would have been so much nicer for the devil. But he didn't. He spoke positive things, but they don't come into existence because God has a will. And friends, you can even pray for the wrong thing and God may not give it to you because He knows what's best for you. He has a will for your life, and you are better off in concluding with each prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." It's okay to ask for whatever you want, but do not assume that you know better than God. And certainly don't say, "I will decree it into existence." You're in big trouble, because look what happened to the old devil. Here, I want to start off with this, because these things about the devil's limitations and his destiny, because a lot of people are frightened of the devil. And I think all these movies today make you frightened. Talking with my good friend David Benoit, an evangelist from Dallas, he said, "You know, all of these movies on television and such are frightening kids like crazy. But there is no solution." Oh, sometimes, you know, they'll say, you know, draw a circle around you and get inside the circle of protection and say some kind of a... That's just witchcraft. That's magic. That's not protection. That's like asking the devil to protect you from the devil. That's like asking Ted Bundy to come into your house and expecting that you're going to be safe. It just, you know, it won't work. Well, there then we see the devil's limitations. We see his destiny. Now, in 1 John 5, verse 19, we see the devil's territory. The devil's territory. And ask yourself if you fall under his jurisdiction. It says there in the scriptures, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Now I want you to keep that little word "and" in mind. We know that we are of God. Who's speaking there? John is speaking to other Christians, other believers. You can know that you're of God. You know that the Holy Spirit is in you. You will know it. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Then you're not of the world, because God is not wicked. He doesn't lie in wickedness. So you see, here we see two territories, two principalities, you might say. Two worlds, in a sense. We see the world, and then we see the kingdom of God. You're either of the kingdom of God, which is within you, or you're of the devil. And the whole world, other than those few that are in the kingdom of God, lieth in wickedness. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we see some of the dangers of the devil. And I believe even for Christians who do not follow this four-step program that we're going to talk about today. Because it says there, and it's a commandment, it's an advice, it's an admonishment by God here through the Apostle Peter. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, he told God, God says, what have you been doing? Whence comest thou? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. Now Peter says, what is he doing walking to and fro in the earth? He's walking about like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Now the question is he going to devour you? The question is he going to devour your loved ones? That's the question. But we've got the answer. Don't worry. Let's talk about this four-step program. The first step to achieving victory over the devil has to do with being humble. Being humble. Humble yourself before God. That's step one. Remember, there's four steps I'm going to give you. We're going to cover each one. Step one is humble yourself before God. See, there can only be one king. There can only be one on the throne. And it would be a very wise thing when you come in the presence of the king to bow down or to kneel or to prostrate yourself before he is on the throne. And you know, I believe that the reason the world lieth in wickedness is because the great majority of people do not want to bow and serve anybody but themselves. They're selfish. And you know, it's amazing to me. But this is the one thing God looks for in a man or a woman. Humility. It doesn't mean that you walk around, you know, like Mr. Humble and yes sir, no sir. But it's good to do that when you're in the presence of God. When you're referring to God, it's not a bad idea at all. Humility. If you were a king, if you were a God, would you want a bunch of arrogant, snooty people that didn't pay you any respect, that didn't give you the homage that you deserve? And God, He's going to have in His kingdom only those people who are humble, who are meek. Read to you James 4, verses 6 through 8. This is really mighty. It says, but He, that is God, giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then I love the next verses. Oh, let me tell you something. I could have just given you this one verse and we could end it in a short sermon. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You ever heard that verse in the Bible? Remember that? Look at that. Submit yourself therefore to God. What do you do when you're in submission? You're being humble. You submit yourself. Now see, a lot of people forget that little step. And they just try to resist the devil. But you haven't got the strength to resist the devil. He's a very powerful being. And he has got millions, who knows how many millions, of other dark angels with him. He will overcome you, I guarantee it. If you try to resist the devil, he will not flee from you. But wait. There is something that comes before that. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. He won't just walk slowly away from you, friends. He will run away from you. So the first step is what? Submit yourself to God. And then and only then you can resist the devil. And he will run for cover. Now, this isn't that an amazing thing when you think about it? So many people are frightened of the devil. But does a Christian have to be frightened? No. Well, maybe. If you don't submit yourself to God, you might want to think about that. Well, let's look at this. How do you humble yourself and submit yourself to God? One way, I believe, is to fear God. Now, is Christianity a fear-based religion? They hit me like they're on talk shows sometimes. Oh, that's just a fear-based religion. And you know what I say? Absolutely. You better believe it. Christianity is a fear-based religion. Let me read to you Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, isn't that amazing? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, you're going to get a lot smarter. That's just the beginning. But you've got to start there. That is the very foundation to fear God. But those who don't fear God, they're fools. They despise wisdom and instruction. Like my good friend David Benoit said, he said, "Tex, if the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, what is fear of the devil?" He said, "After all, the devil likes to reverse things, doesn't he? You know, Satanists say the Lord's Prayer, but they say it backwards. They take the Lord's cross, but they hang it upside down. So if the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom," he says, "what is the fear of the devil?" Well, he said, "it's the beginning of stupidity." And it's only the beginning. You're going to get a lot more dumber. You've just begun that path to stupidity. You're going to get stupider and stupider. Is that a good English? Stupider? More and more stupid. Okay. I stand corrected. Here's another one. Jesus himself. A lot of people say, "but look what all the government can do to me. Big brother. Look at all the calamities. I mean, the IRS, they could audit me if they know I'm a fundamentalist Christian." Some people write to me and say, "better take me off your mailing list, Tex. I really believe what you're doing, but man, I'm afraid of the government." Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. "And I say unto you, my friends," now that's, you know, that's going to be really nice when Jesus calls you his friends right away. You know, this is going to be something useful. "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear." Now listen up. Jesus is telling you there is somebody to fear. "Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So is Christianity a fear-based religion? You better believe it. Jesus himself said, "fear him." Fear God. This is the one thing, I'll tell you, that makes me frightened. Not for myself, but for the soul of people who do not fear God. I think maybe I mentioned to y'all about the guy that used to come on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And he claimed that every year, right about New Year's time, Jesus would come to him and tell him what was going to happen the next year. And he says, "you know, he just came in. Jesus was wearing a three-piece suit. Sit down on my living room couch and we chat. You know, I don't think that man had any fear of God. I don't think he had any fear of God." The Old Testament prophet, though, was brought up into the presence of God. And you know what he said? "Woe is me. I'm undone. Because my mouth is unclean." He was afraid to speak in the presence of God because he was unclean. And you know, the angels came and they took a bit of hot coal and symbolically, I don't know whether it was real or what, but they cleansed his mouth with fire before he could even speak. Even the Apostle John in Revelation, he who walked with Jesus, who put his head on Jesus' chest, who loved Christ so much, when Jesus came to him, he was, you know, after he had been lifted up and he came back, John was so struck at his appearance. You know, his hair was like wool, his feet were like brass, and just eyes were like fire. And John says, "I fell at his feet as if dead." Let me tell you something, folks. If you are in the presence of God, and maybe some of you have prayed sometime, and you have felt you were in the presence of Almighty God when you prayed. Have you ever felt that way before? I know you have if you're a true Christian. And when you do, let me tell you something. He is not another man. He is not another woman. He is not somebody that lives next door to you. He is so majestic and, yes, as you mentioned earlier, has so much glory and power, you feel like you almost can't stand in His presence. You don't deserve to be there. It will overcome you. And I believe it will overcome you. The presence of God. And you know then you have to be humble because you feel this overwhelming presence that is God. And you know then you should be fearful because He's God. Well, now, another way to humble yourself is simply to stay away from evil. To respect God's Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, it is true that a Christian may sin. And I don't think every time you sin, you lose your salvation. Although my folks taught me that when I was a little boy. They said, if you say a bad word, you cross the street and a car hits you, you're going right to hell. Boy, that kept me pretty straight, let me tell you. It's like the man I heard, he sang, and it was a great Christian singer, and a guy came up to him after the service and said, brother, that was such great singing today. I was so inspired. I gave my life to Christ for the 39th time. Been saved 39 times. Well, I don't know if that can be possible or not. I don't think so. But I'm sure the sentiment was there, and he was very sincere about that. If you respect and fear God, you will not want to grieve Him. That's what you do. You grieve God. He is living inside of you. And then when you sin and you commit foul deeds, think of that. You're not only harming yourself, you're grieving God. And that is a very terrible thing to do. Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A lot of people actually are not too bad about that. They say, okay, I'm not going to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But you know what? They don't take the time or the courage. They don't have the courage to reprove the works of darkness. God says, reprove them. That means to do what? Criticize them. Fight them. Expose them. You say, well, that's dangerous. Well, yeah. It can get you in trouble. Make devils mad at you. But after all, they have limited powers. Think of that. Think of this too. Luke 16, verses 13 through 15. Jesus said, no servant can have two masters. If you belong to Jesus, how is it possible you can serve another master? Is that really showing fear of God? If you work for me in my ministry, and you leave at noon and don't come back, and I say, where you been? You say, well, I've been working somewhere else, drawing pay over there. I think you'll be in trouble. You're serving two masters. It's not going to work. And Jesus is not going to share you with the devil. He's just not going to do it. You're going to be real sorry. He will chasten you. And he'll say, hey, I'm your Lord and Master. What are you doing working for that other master over there? You know, the one they call Lucifer? That's not going to be good for you. And if you want to have victory over the devil, then work for God. And don't have any part with the unfruitful works of darkness. They're not going to pay off, my friends. That's why God says they're unfruitful. Well, another way to show fear from God is to pray to Him. Or to show humility to God. Is to pray. Now, this is not very onerous at all, is it? To pray to God. And you know the reason it's not is because God promises He will answer your prayers. I like that. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Wow. Can you believe that? Why don't we pray more? He said, whatever you ask, He will give it to you. Whatever you desire of Him. Now notice, He didn't say, whatever you demand, whatever you decree, whatever you confess, whatever you state, whatever you proclaim. It says, whatever you ask, whatever you petition. Petition is far different from demanding. There you're beseeching, you're asking God, you're requesting it. You're not making a demand on God. You say, well, isn't it okay to make a demand on God? No, it's not okay to make a demand on God. Although Jesus himself said you could be like the lady that went before the judge. Remember that example? This was an unjust judge. This judge didn't respect God or man. He was just a mean person. But Christ said this woman came to him and said, avenge me. She had been wronged by somebody. And she said, I want revenge. Well, the judge wouldn't pay her any mind. She kept coming back over and over and over again. Finally, the judge said, I don't fear anybody, but I'll tell you something. This woman is, you know, she's an irritant. She's pesky. She keeps coming back. Okay, I'll give her what she wants just to get rid of her. Well, Jesus said, if an unjust judge will do that, imagine what God the Father will do. After all, He loves you. He cares for you. And what is He saying? Pray. Ask me. That's all He wants you to do, is to ask Him. Why? Because that shows humility. That shows respect to God. And remember this, folks. He already knows what you need. You said, well, why ask Him then? Let me just save time. He can read my thoughts. It'll save me a lot of time if I don't have to ask Him. Well, but that's not showing humility. Of course He can read your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. And He knows your needs. And He knows what you should have that would be good for you. But He still says, ask Him. So just do that and show humility to God. So humble yourself to God. That is the first great step. Okay, now the second step in achieving victory is to draw nigh to Him. Draw nigh to Him. That's, by the way, there in James chapter 4, verse 8. I forgot the verse 8 while ago. Because it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, this is a tremendous spiritual principle, isn't it? You draw nigh to God, and what happens? He will draw nigh to you. Let's look at 1 John 2, verse 20. I'm going to go very fast. It says there in 1 John 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Abide in Him. Did you know that you can abide in Jesus? Romans 13, verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about some armor. When you put on Jesus Christ, you have some real armor against the devil, don't you? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.